We're finally going to know the truth. This is a 5 to 7 year plan for death and disability. Immediately, months later, 1 to 2 years, and 5 to 7 years. So we're in for a long ride because, as I've warned you, the formula in these shots changes all the time. We are in for a tsunami of regret, an imminent era of shock and awe. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine. Welcome to the Dr. Jane Ruby Show on this Wednesday, December 21st, 2022. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is a very special show because we're getting some new information, some new truth on how this mass genocide operation is unfolding in the world. Tonight, I have the pleasure of meeting up with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's one of the foremost authorities in this COVID scam and who never pulls any punches. She's never given me a moment of doubt about her intentions and about her veracity, and her narrative has always been consistent and helpful towards saving humanity. What she is about to lay out in tonight's show is that there are actually now 4 phases known for people who have taken the shots. The caveat is exactly what I've been saying for 2 years now, that there are many different things in the shots at any given time, and even within the same lot number. Formulas are changing all the time because they can under an emergency use authorization, which they are getting away with continuing in spite of the absence of any evidence of any kind of health emergency. The primary poisons can be different on any given day, but nevertheless, these shots are filled with different types of poisons, either in the adjuvants or the lipid nanoparticle constructions or in the genetic code. Some of them are mRNA codes. Others are partial codes that no one knows what they are coded for. Dr. Tenpenny will break down across these 4 phases, which she has categorized as immediate death, several months later due to spike proteins that have had the time to grow and concentrate, 1 to 2 years out with cardiac deaths now peaking, and the 4th phase she will describe, which is 5 to 7 years out with multiple manifestations of autoimmune diseases, antibody-dependent enhancement. It's obvious if you go looking at the Pfizer and Moderna and other numerous pharmaceutical company pipelines on their own websites, that their pipes are bursting with mRNA technology. So many hundreds of drugs are going to be pushed at you. Do you think that's because it's been so safe and successful? Because this technology is safe? No, of course not. People, animals, everything dies with it. Or do you think it's because they're being incentivized to join in on cleaning up and wrapping up this mass genocide operation? Dr. Tenpenny will go on record to predict what she calls a tsunami of regret. God help us all. Before we meet up with Dr. T, I want to share some important information with you tonight regarding your retirement savings, because if you've got more than $50,000 saved that you can't afford to lose, I don't know anybody who can afford to lose it, especially in this environment where the Biden administration, month after month, is sending billions of dollars to the Ukraine, which is shooting up our national debt. It's out of control. And at the same time, doing nothing to stop the inflation in our own country. If you want to protect yourself from this combination of crippling inflation and growing debt, please consider talking to the people at Gold Co. Call them at 855-791-2619 and let them send you a free IRS loophole kit so that you can learn more about how to protect your savings. And you know what? You could also get $10,000 in free silver just for doing it. Don't wait. Call Gold Co. today and learn more. Call them at 855-791-2619. When I return and we get into this discussion with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, we'll hear not just all this bad news, the worst is yet to come, which is the title of tonight's show, but she really lays it out in context. And she brings a lot of information that she's been steadily watching over the months. And she hasn't been out doing a lot of public speaking because, as she told me, she's getting invited less and less. That's very telling. Dr. Jane is getting invited less and less. That's very telling. But the same usual suspects, and you can figure them out on your own because they're all out there, are getting called back time after time after time. With the exception of somebody like Dr. Teresa Long, who I would take out of my calculation completely, because I do believe in her and I do trust her. There were many of those that I'm referring to, otherwise referring to, at Ron Johnson's recent hearing. How is that? How are those lists put together? How was Governor DeSantis's list for his integrity committee put together? What goes into that? Who makes those recommendations? On what basis are the recommendations made? And on what basis are the decisions made? So likewise, Senator Johnson's dog and pony show, on what basis do they make decisions as to who's going to be in that panel? Over and over again, I might add, hey, Senator Johnson, how about bringing in some different blood? How about bringing in some of the folks from overseas? How about bringing in Dr. Sukrit Bhakti? How about bringing in Dr. Arna Burkhart with a real forensic pathologist who doesn't try to, you know, sort of dampen down the narrative, okay, and change the narrative to confuse the public? How about a real forensic pathologist like Dr. Arna Burkhart in Germany, who will tell you over and over again the truth about what his findings have revealed about these shots and what they do to the body and what the dead are trying to tell us? How about those people? How about Dr. Sherry Tenpenny? How about Dr. Larry Pilevsky, who's a New York City pediatrician who from the beginning has said, this is not a vaccine. This is not a vaccine. This is poison. This is a toxic bioweapon. And no one should get it. How about Dr. Jane Ruby, who testified before countless courts, rabbinical courts, to protect the children in Brooklyn and in Israel that are the innocent victims? How about Dr. Jane Ruby, who broke the story of the white fibrous clots that we still don't have 100% information about what they're made of? No, you keep bringing in the same people that are trying to change the narrative around the white fibrous clots. They're trying to confuse the public. Oh, they're rare and they're well-known blood. Nope, they're not blood. Nope. You can't make a speculation if you haven't done the actual analysis. How about getting Mike Adams in there, who's actually done the mass spectroscopy on the Hirschman clot? How about that? Right? That might be a good thing. Dr. Zelenko's dead. Otherwise, he would have been a good person to bring in. And you never brought him in. You didn't bring him in January when he was alive. How about that? But you all keep bringing in the same people. Same people with the same mission. We're never going to get through this. We're never going to get past it. And we're never going to survive it if we keep bringing in the same people, the same chorus. When I return, we're going to get the truth bombs of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss this discussion.
Well, the show is brought to you by Danette May and Mindful Health, LLC, featuring Danette May's top superfood product from her Earth Echo food line, Cocoa Bliss. Nothing feels better than being able to enjoy rich, smooth, creamy chocolate and knowing you're doing something good for your body. They start with 100% organic cocoa beans that are naturally kissed by the sun, maintaining its miraculous health benefits. Then they blend it with turmeric, MCT oil, coconut, Himalayan sea salt, cinnamon, and black pepper for the perfect blend to make you feel the best you have ever felt. Fall in love with a truly decadent, healthy, guilt-free chocolate, removing your cravings, facilitating weight loss, boosting your energy, and reducing inflammation with one simple drink. It's friendly to paleo, gluten-free, keto, vegan, and vegetarian diets. They're offering up to 15% off when you use the promo code RUBY. Go to earthechofoods.com and use the discount code RUBY for your 15% off.
Well, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has been at the forefront of the COVID hoax from day one, and actually even before that. Dr. Tenpenny graduated from the University of Toledo and then went on to complete her medical degree at Kirksville College in Missouri. Just about everything she's predicted that would come forth for those who've taken these bioweapon shots has come to fruition. And it's been way too long since she's been on the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, even though she's been what I consider a remote mentor of mine, whether she knows it or not. And I'm so excited to welcome her back to the show today. Dr. T, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for having me back, Jane. Yes, it's been a while and it's great to see you and talk to you again.
Yes, I've actually missed you. Just the two of us have been running so crazy and I know you're speaking all over the place, but I'm really happy to have you. You know, Dr. T, I talked to Dr. Marble the other day and he said, you know, we're at peak death and destruction from these shots. And I thought, wow, okay, you know, love talking about that. I know you've predicted a lot of things related to antibody-dependent enhancement, timing of the shots. I'd love to get into that a little bit with you starting here. What are your thoughts about this? Is there a paced out death and destruction?
Well, I really like Dr. Marble, but I would have to disagree with him just a little bit. I don't think we're at the peak at all. I think that we're at the front end of the curve. I think that what we are going to see, you know, is going to be an accelerated hockey stick over the course of the next several years. You know, sadly, it's a claim that I wish I didn't have. It's a claim that I wish was wrong, that everything that I've talked about and mentioned since March of 2020 has fallen into place. Been off a little bit on the timelines, but everything has been exactly what I said, because back in, you know, because they think about this, in March of 2020 is when the pandemic started. It was in December of 2020 when they released the Pfizer and the Moderna shot, and it was February of 21. So we haven't even been a whole year since they released the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca shots, which they've sort of quietly taken off the market. They didn't make a big deal of it. They just quietly took it off the market. And at the beginning, you know, when I talked about the 40 mechanisms of injury, and I said, well, category number one is acute death. Those were the large number of people that die within the first 48 to 72 hours of getting a shot. Anaphylactic shock, blood clots to the lungs or to the brain, heart attacks. The second is the spike protein death rate, which is the spike proteins are real. The spike proteins have been around for a while. And just because people are saying, you know, we're looking at these slides and we don't see any spike proteins now, doesn't mean that they weren't there for the last 2 years. They're changing the formulas a lot. And because this is still under EUA, they can change the formula up to 49%. They can change it and not even notify the FDA or let anybody know that they've done it. So I think that they're changing things all the time. So people are saying, well, this isn't there, and now it's only hydrogel and graphene oxide. That may be the primary players now, but it probably wasn't the primary or the only players back all the way through 2021 and maybe even through most of 22. We know that the cardiac deaths are going to start about, they're starting now, that we're seeing all the people that with the sudden deaths, that they've come up with this fabricated name called SADS, you know, sudden adult death syndrome for healthy people. And doctors are perplexed that they don't know why people are just dropping over. And that's going to be the next several years, the next 2 to 3 years. And then the antibody dependent enhancement, when you get after you've created an antibody and you're re-exposed to garden variety coronaviruses, and all and that is category 3. Mm-hmm. And also the cross reactivity of the antibodies to joints and organs, that's a longer term play, somewhere between 5 and 7 years. And then there's the fourth category that all the miscellaneous things fall into, like the early fetal demise that I know you've spoken about a lot. The long-term deaths in terms of infertility, the cancer rates that are going through the moon. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those things, the all-cause mortalities for all the different things, because we know the Pfizer shot has over 1,200 different types of syndromes and diseases and conditions that people can develop. And that's a little bit longer term play. So with all due respect to Dr. Marple, I don't think we may be at peak death right now from what we've seen from the beginning, mm-hmm. but this is not the peak death. This is like the front edge of all the deaths that we're going to be seeing over the next several years.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, especially with the way you just laid it out. And I wanted to touch back on something you said, because it's something that it sticks in my craw too. And I've talked about it, and I wanted people to understand why we're talking about the fact that some people come along here and there, they claim to be experts, and they say, well, I looked at 5 vials, or I looked at maybe 50 vials, and I didn't see any mRNA, or I didn't see any graphene. And you really hit the nail on the head with that, because you can't make a comment about the total population when you've only looked at a representative sample. And this is like a red flag to me that people are trying to steer the narrative in a different way. What are your thoughts on why people would even do that? Just incompetence in science, or sort of maybe like sort of work in the narrative in a different direction for another purpose?
Well, I think it's not only is it a small sample size to look at 5 or 50 or even 100 vials. You are looking at a sample of vials at a specific point in time. You don't know what came before and you don't know what came after, mm-hmm. you know, because of that. I think that website is How Bad Is My Shot?
Yep. Team Enigma. Yep. Absolutely.
That one, what that is. And we knew for the last 2 years, there was like this graph, and just for your, you know, like this, and then you'd see a big spike, right. And it like this. And I said, that was German data. And I said that if you were the good guys, you would see that big spike and go, oh, well, we don't ever want to use that lot number. But if you're the bad guys, you would say, that's the lot number we're looking for. What were the ingredients in that? Or was that the ones that, you know, were refrigerated, not refrigerated, you know, the higher concentrations of SM-102, I mean, more messenger RNA, more or less. We don't know, because we don't have a package insert. And if it's really true from an EUA perspective, and I've had lawyers tell me this, mm-hmm. that from an EUA perspective, that they can change up to 49% of what's in that particular lot vial and not have to notify anybody. We know that there's whistleblowers now from inside of Pfizer about the quality control and said there's no standardization. They're receiving things from China and just putting them in the vials that aren't even labeled. We know that we have no idea what it is. So with the researchers that are saying, well, I looked at this set of vials, and instead of saying, I don't see any messenger RNA, what would be the more accurate thing to say is, this is what I see in these vials, which doesn't negate everything else.
Correct.
And so the reason why they would do that, I don't know, Jane. I'm telling you, there's so many things inside of this industry. You know, I've been doing this 23 years, mm-hmm. and I've seen the good, bad, and the ugly of the circumstances and of people and of different things. And to me, it's like somehow people want to be the hero. Mm-hmm. I am the one who found all these things. And we're in the middle of a 2 billion person experiment right now. We're still in the middle of the experiment. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And right now, the whole focus is on hydrogel and graphene oxide and maybe 5G. Well, if we have the same conversation this time next year, mm-hmm. it could be something completely different. And so I think the correct thing to say is, where we are right now on this continuum, this is what we are seeing that's causing the problems. That doesn't negate what wasn't there before. And it doesn't say, well, It wasn't about the spike protein or messenger RNA or the polyethylene glycol that we don't hardly ever talk about anymore, or the polyethylene glycol combined with the graphene oxide in the presence of hydrogen, which gives us magnetic charges. And we don't see a lot of videos anymore of people like putting coins on their head. So did they dial that back a little bit? Did they change things? Because they're in the process of changing things as we go. They're monitoring the outcomes. They want it to be bad enough that people get sick and they become, as Todd Callender would say, the Homo Borgensis, the new species, right?
Yeah.
We want 3.5 billion people to die, but we want the rest of them to become a new species. So we got to continually tinker and tweak with the dosage and the ratios inside of these things so that we don't kill 100%. We only kill
all at once. Right, right. And interestingly, you brought up the howbad.info, how bad is my batch? That's the Team Enigma group. And one of the things they found out, which totally buttresses what you just said, is that each company sets the number of doses. Those are 6, 5, whatever doses in a vial. But they set the number of doses per lot number themselves. And what they found after some hackers got in to the Pfizer and Moderna system was that there was up to 1.5 million doses per lot number. And not all of them had been deployed. So like you said, there's the up and down, the different parts to each lot number. And then in addition to that, who knows, maybe they're adding things and putting the same lot number going forward. And so it's causing sort of a, runaround. It's so diabolical.
It is. And it's just, and there, it's purposely done. It goes all the way back to the 1980s and what we have long referred to as the Wyeth memo, the Wyeth memo for your interest, for your audience. That was in about 1982 when they were sending out, large sets of lots to particular areas. And this was for a DPT vaccine that this particular lot number all got concentrated. And I believe it was in a place in Tennessee, and they had like quite a few, like 5, 7, 10 infant deaths. And the president of Wyeth, or the CEO of Wyeth, that came out and said, we can no longer send a full lot number into a particular area, because if there was something that was a hot lot, there would be far too many deaths in that area, and people would be able to figure it out. So now we take a lot number of, say, 1 million doses, and we disperse them across the country. So if that was a bad lot and it was going to cause deaths, there would be deaths scattered all across the country, and they wouldn't be able to track it back to that one lot. So it wouldn't surprise me that they were not, if they were doing the same thing with the COVID shots as what was decided in the 80s around what's called the Wyeth memo. And your audience can actually Google that and look it up and read about that.
Yeah, it's incredibly diabolical. I wanted to ask you about your thoughts and maybe your current intel on the flu shots, because they've never been reliable. They've always been 10 or 15%. They were always a speculation on what strain was. But here's the point. You have these CEOs like Stefan Bancel from Moderna. You have Albert Bourla with, shooting his mouth off on CNBC. They're basically saying, hey, the next round in the spring, we're going to have everything. We're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink, multiple mRNAs, but here's my question. How do you feel right now? What are you telling your patients about that think they want a seasonal flu shot right now? Are you worried about the formulations right now from these lying, killing companies?
Well, as far as I've been able to figure out, and I've researched to read that this, the messenger RNA influenza vaccines are in stage 3 clinical trials. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't released it. It just means that they're in stage 3 clinical trials. So they haven't gotten full FDA approval yet, from what I can read. It doesn't mean it's not coming. Let me rephrase that. Yeah. It probably is coming. And if anybody bothers to want to get a flu shot, it was last week on my Substack. My Substack is drtenpenny.substack.com. And the name of the Substack is called Eye on the Evidence. And I wrote an article on giving up the belief in flu shots. And I put all sorts of data in there and include a table that goes back 19 years that shows that the flu shot has been only 15, that the amount of illness out in the wintertime in North America, Canada, is caused by influenza viruses only 14% of the time. So if the flu shot, you know, and it has to be a match, the viruses in the flu shot have to match the viruses out in the circulation for that flu shot to protect you, quote unquote, protect you from getting sick from influenza viruses. Well, if what's making people sick in terms of influenza viruses, only 14% of people that are getting sick, it's caused by an influenza virus, then best case, let's say that that flu shot matched 100% of the time, that means it's going to keep you from getting sick 14% of the time. And you still can get sick from a whole list of 30 other pathogens, literally 30 other pathogens that can give you what's called influenza-like illness. So it looks exactly like the flu, but it's caused by some other bug. You're getting, it's another shot that forever has been all risk and no benefit. The multi-dose flu shots still have mercury in them. They're making a small amount of the shots that, are mercury free. About 93% of the vaccines are still made from eggs and they still have mercury in them. About 7% is made from the new technologies, from the kidneys of dogs, from bugs that they have, things that they have this that's called flu block, that's made from bugs.
Flu block.
It's made from some bugs. So I'm actually, after the first of the year, Jane, I just, the release that I just did last night on my Substack, or this weekend, is called Help Wanted Signs Everywhere, Where Are the Workers? And so that's the one that I released yesterday. But starting after the first of the year, I'm doing a 5-part series on flu and flu shots so that people will never do this stuff again. It's just astonishing to me. It's truly astonishing to me that people go, yeah, I don't want one of those COVID shots, but I need to get my flu shot. And they also are planning to use the messenger RNA technology for MMR. So that's going to go more of that messenger RNA into your children. If you're still vaccinating your children, they're pushing really hard to get the COVID shot committed to the pediatric schedule for a school requirement across the country. They're wanting to use the messenger RNA in influenza vaccines. And I do believe that there are plans for them to put that messenger RNA into, in one form or another, into every one of the shots, all 16 of the shots that's on the pediatric schedule. They want this shot in us. They want us to be radio frequencies. They want to create a new type of a species that we're no longer Homo sapiens, but that we're going to be Homo Borgensis, as Todd Callender talks a lot about. And one of the things that Todd says, and Todd's a good friend of mine, and he's also an international attorney, is that, you know, will these new species, these Homo Borgensis things, will they have any inalienable rights that have been granted to Homo sapiens? And so if you kill a Homo Borgensis person, is that murder?
Right.
Because murder is definitely defined as taking the life of a living Homo sapiens
person. Homo sapien human. Right. I've actually had Todd on the show to discuss that. It was one of my highest viewed shows ever. People just needed to know a lot about that. And so I'm right with you on that. And in addition to that, I don't know if you've talked to Dr. Daniel Negassi. He's a former Canadian emergency room physician who was, you know, banned for successfully treating people with ivermectin. I've had him on the show a couple of times. And the interesting thing that he brought up that it really keeps me up at night, Dr. T, is this whole notion of changing through recombinant DNA processes down through generations. Like, our great grandchildren or great great grandchildren are not going to know who the hell took the shots and who didn't. And this gift that keeps giving to the cabal is going to, I mean, there is going to be a large portion of the population, right, that's going to continue to pass this on off a generation, then back on. You know, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think he was the one that spoke about the skip generations and how it goes into these particular types of things in your immunology and your genes.
Yes.
And that some of your children will be okay, but they may be a recessive carrier and pass that on to their children.
Exactly.
So it's like
right.
You said, it's like your grandchildren and great grandchildren. I think that was him that talked about that. And that was very frightening. And we think that that will happen from two perspectives. I mean, one is that we know that the spike protein goes into the eggs and the sperm. And when little girls are born, you know, the number of eggs that you have in your ovaries, that's it. You right. don't get any more. That you're what the amount that you're born with is all that you have. Unlike boys that continually make sperm over and over again, they're continually producing sperm. With girls, if you wipe out 50 to 70% of their eggs, that's it. They're they don't infertile. Get any more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They've all been damaged with the spikes and everything else. Very concerning. And people aren't even aware. That's the scary part of it. They're just not even aware of what's happening. I mean, they're going off to Joey's, you know, soccer game and, you know, we're going to go, hey, honey, you want to go on the boat this weekend? I mean, how do you know, we're just all doing the best we can. I know, but, before we break, take a brief break. I know you're going to stay over to the next segment. What are your thoughts in terms of messaging for people in terms of the genetic changes that antibody dependent enhancement? What's your big warning? Just stop taking it.
Just stop. I mean, you know, Ryan Cole and I've had these conversations before. You know, if I mean, those of us that have not been injected, we are the control group. The people that have had one shot, please don't get a second one. It's the second one that seems to be the tip-off point for all the myocarditis and the mm-hmm. pericarditis. And if you've had two, don't get three. I mean, you know, now they're pushing the fifth booster in Quebec and in Israel. And when at the very, very beginning of this, Jane, one of my insider reference people had told me that they were going to do a minimum of seven different boosters. And then I had a conversation the other night with somebody who said, over the course of the next 10 years, they want people to have 20 different boosters. And the booster, it won't even be boosters for COVID. It'll be 20 different vaccines for every type of pathogen you could think of. And the next roundup is going to be Marburg. And so we can talk about that after the break.
Sure.
People don't need to be afraid of that. There are things that you can definitely do.
I've definitely said, and I've had the feeling from the very beginning that this was what I called a priming mission, that they're going to keep, they need a lot inside of us. We'll talk more about what that may mean when we come back on the other side of the break with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in a most fascinating discussion and update on her thoughts of what's going on right now. I'll be right back.
It's hard to overstate how important magnesium is for your health and well-being. In fact, magnesium deficiency can increase your risk of all illnesses, and you might not know that there are seven different types of magnesium the body needs. BioOptimizers has the solution. Their supplement is specially formulated to dramatically improve your overall health, from reducing stress to improving sleep and boosting your energy levels. Go to magbreakthrough.com and use the code RUBY for 10% off. Don't wait to be deficient. Just go to magbreakthrough.com. Code RUBY.
Well, welcome back to the second segment of the Dr. Jane Ruby Show today. I'm really excited to be resuming this conversation with the one, the only Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, or how we affectionately call her Dr. T. Busy Dr. T, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for the time today because you are a very, very busy doctor. Dr. T, when we closed out in the first segment, we were talking a lot about, you mentioned that those of us who have not taken the shots are the control group. And that always gave me, you know, some sense of comfort, you know, based on what we're seeing now happening to the jab and what we have seen over the last year. I want to get into this notion of shedding, because you are so, you know, just proficient in all of the aspects of this. In terms of the shedding, are we eventually going to lose our control status? And I don't believe we're going to be as inoculated with these poisons as the jab. But eventually, if they keep taking it and the window of the space around us all narrows, are we through shedding going to become like them or have the problems that they have?
Maybe. And I don't think that we know. And, you know, we keep trying to not use the word shedding and usually call it transmission.
Right.
Because you're transmitting something from one person to the other that causes something other than COVID. And by definition, viral shedding, you get what that virus is. You get,
good point.
You get that, you know, thing. And so, and we're really stuck on that. I don't know that I'm ever going to make any headway. It's like a scratch in the record. You know, people are so stuck on saying shedding that they don't understand that they're not saying it correctly. You know, it's just, Because the transmission can be the hydrogel, it can be the spike protein, it can be something could pass through us with a frequency and pick up another frequency and take it somewhere else. I mean, they've proven that can happen. And so are we going to maintain our status? I don't know. I'm hoping that all of us have had some level of COVID enough over the course of the last 2 years. You know, we've had a cold or flu-like symptoms that we have our own intrinsic antibodies that are different than the synthetically made ones that come from the shots, that we will be able to maintain that. But it's a frightening proposition, Jane, because, excuse me, we all have heard all the conversations in the last couple, well, actually from the beginning, about the pure bloods. Mm-hmm. And the two cases just recently of the babies that they wanted to have non-vaccinated blood. And like in New Zealand, when they took the child away from the parents, and because there's just no reason for this that I can think of other than just more diabolical.
Except murder. Right. Except more murder.
Except more diabolical dumbness from physicians, you know, because both of these cases that I was kind of peripherally involved with, these were infants that the parents who were unvaccinated wanted to donate their blood to their own child, and they matched, and the doctors wouldn't allow them to do it. They didn't want to set a precedent for that.
Yeah, a precedent for life saving. The first one was baby Will in New Zealand. I believe he's still alive. But before we get to him, there was baby Alex in Washington State, who unfortunately they went ahead, and then the baby developed this giant blood clot and died. It's just so preventable and so awful. There was some story though, if you know, add into this, there was some peripheral story or additional story to baby Will in New Zealand. And the parents looked very relieved when they came out after that surgery, that cardiac open heart surgery, that they were intimating that possibly he might have gotten a clean unit of blood. Any info or background on that? No. Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't really know, but I do know that they were fighting, and there's a couple more cases as far as I know too, that they, the parents were trying to donate blood to their own child and the doctors wouldn't allow it because they didn't want to set a precedent, which is just diabolical dumbness from physicians. You know, Jane, I don't know when we are ever going to get the opportunity to get these physicians, be held accountable for the murder that they've caused.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, they're under this, you know, CMS blanket waiver. And we had an unfortunate situation in the state of Florida that I keep pointing out. I don't have a dog in the race. However, people are saying, oh, Governor DeSantis, he's done some good things. He's another Trump to me. They've done some good things, but there are a couple of things here and there that bother me. And we've gone through this because he codified the CDC death protocol essentially by extending the liability shield in Florida hospitals to everybody in there until June of 2023. Not even sure why that had to be done. But there are things like that, that you want to say, hey, governor, what are you doing? You already had it, but you're actually sealing the death fate of people in the state of Florida that get caught up in a hospital system. And believe me, Dr. T, we've had a ton of people that have been killed in the Florida hospital systems with the remdesivir ventilator. You know, any thoughts on that? I mean,
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably true of any politician. You're never going to have any like purists. They do it right 100% of the time.
Right.
And it's not exactly like they're playing to both sides of the aisles, but I remember when that came through and it didn't make any sense to me at all. But, you know, at the same token, you know, they're now trying to get the Florida Supreme Court to look at these things. And I had mentioned to Surgeon General Lapido, you know, Joe Lapido that I talk to fairly regularly, you know, could they go after them from an FTC violation? If they can't go after them under CMS, Medicare, Medicaid, and, you know, the FDA rules and the CDC because of the EUA protection, but could they go after them on a Federal Trade Commission, an FTC violation for telling lies to the country across the broadcast networks? Because as you know, I mean, the FTC has a lot of regulations about being able to advertise, the pharmaceutical industry to advertise. And that's why, you know, when we hear these television commercials and they're a minute long television commercial in the last 30 seconds is all the side effects and, you know, including death, you know.
Yeah, right.
But this would be a great thing for you. Just ask your doctor right. And like bleeding, your doctor knows anything about it.
Bleeding out of your eyes and ears and, you know, but it's great. And death.
But it's great. It's a great thing. It'll lengthen your life by maybe 2 weeks, right? Well, but there's rules that they have to do that. But I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. But the next time that you happen to be watching television and you hear a pharmaceutical advertisement for any one of the vaccines, like the adult pertussis vaccine or the shingles shot or any of those, notice that in that 60-second commercial, there is not one single mention of a side effect. And so, you know, they've gotten away with that.
Yeah, they have. And so
I've been trying to push that for a long time too. That's an FTC violation. So that should mean every single commercial they have ever done that they haven't mentioned the side effects, there should be some sort of a fine. Well, I'm wondering if, you know, the lying sort of things to the American people, if that can be an FTC violation, and perhaps that's in a different angle that we can take to try to get these people.
Well, this has been something that I've been talking about for a while. I spent 20 years in the pharma industry. I wasn't a consultant. I wasn't a business analyst. I was in the company so that when the vendors, they would stand up and say, could all the vendors leave the room? Those were the people that you see, like the whistleblowers, Karen Kingston, who does great work. But the point is, those were vendors and they would be excused from the room. And those of us on the inside, like Dr. Michael Yeadon and myself, were told the dirty truth. So here's what's happening. The violations are unbelievable. Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer himself, has gone on over and over again on TV, and he is off-label promoted, which is against the law, not off-label prescribing. I've taught people that's within a doctor's or a nurse practitioner's purview, but he has off-label, he's the commercial arm of the company, and he's off-label promoting, oh, if you don't take Paxlovid, if it doesn't, if you get sick again, then take it again, another round of it. You can't do that. But we have watched, Dr. T, this blatant disregard and getting away with violations of these federal laws. So where are we going?
I don't know where we're going to go, Jane. It doesn't, you know, the good news is that more and more people are beginning to see it. I really disdain the phrase waking up. Because to me, if you're not out of a coma by now, you probably are never going to be. But becoming more aware, I think, is maybe a better phrase. You know, that they, it's like, I've used this analogy sometimes. It's like standing on the edge of the beach in the, it's still dark outside. And you're there about an hour before sunrise. Mm-hmm. And as the sun starts to come up over the horizon, the things start to lighten up and then the color changes sort of a little light pink. And, you know, and it isn't until like in that second where the sun pops up over the edge of the horizon where it gets really bright. And I think that right now we're sort of in that phase of the pink and yellow starting to show up. You're starting to see things mm-hmm. and be more conscious of things because there's more light being shined all the time on the truth about what's happening. And so people are going to be suddenly standing on the beach in bright sunlight where they can no longer deny the deaths that are going on around them, the people that have died, all their friends and family members, all the people that they know, if they're still alive, they're very sick. They can't work. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know that inside the military, the doctors in the military are saying the only ones that show up for duty are the unvaccinated ones that are still in the military. The rest of them are too sick to show up. And so it's, you know, I think that people are kind of saying, and they're going to have, they're looking around, and I think we're going to see, and I've said this from the beginning, and you, I know you've heard me say this over and over again, that we were going to see about now this tsunami of deaths that are coming. It's like, and I always visualize it in my mind, sort of like in Hawaii, where they have those big 50-foot waves, you know, that they come in and they have all those competitions. I think it's probably in January, those big, ginormous waves. Well, that's the wave of death we're having. I mean, they've already determined, I mean, Steve Kirsch and Ed Dowd have crunched the numbers to say they estimate from the databases that they have access to, that there's at least 20 million deaths from these shots worldwide, and at least 2 billion people who've been seriously injured by these shots. And we're just at the beginning of that. And I think what's going to come behind that big, big wave, the next wave behind it is going to be the wave of regret. The people that have had one shot, maybe two shots, they don't want the boosters. And they're like, how do I get this out of my system? Well, you can get some elements out. I think you can probably detox the the graphene oxide. I think that there's ways that you can possibly off of the hydrogel. But how do you repair the structural DNA damage that's happened?
Exactly my point. Yeah, exactly.
And I've said that forever. I mean, even with the childhood vaccination schedule, parents are like, now that I understand, how do I detox this from my system? But once you vaccinate, you can't unvaccinate.
You can't.
You can get better, but you can't unvaccinate. Yeah. And I think we're going to start seeing a tsunami of regret, buyer's remorse coming after the first of the year. And I'm really hoping the churches don't fail us the second time around like they did the first time.
Well, they were bought and paid for. That's why they failed us. They were taking money. That's why they went along with it. But Dr. T, this is not a mistake. This is an operation, which should frighten the hell out of everybody. In one of my many conversations with DOD whistleblower, Lieutenant Colonel Dr. Teresa Long, who I'm sure you've talked to, said to me one time, you know, Jane, those of us who are trained in, you know, military strategy and timing of things, we recognize very frighteningly that we're on somebody else's timetable. You mentioned the military. Our military is being decimated day by day. Absolutely. Like you said, they're either sick, they've dropped dead already, that's going to be a microcosm of what you said, that hockey stick kind of, you know, we're going to see it in the military even more, no matter how much they play with that DMED data and try to hide it. But I wanted to go back to something really quickly that you mentioned on the topic of the purebloods. I don't know if you've ever met him. I've had him on my show a couple of times. Dr. Philippe Van Welbergen from the UK. He's a country doctor. He's got the microscope. A year ago, he was saying, because you're a practicing doctor, you still see patients. I know, because a lot of my followers are saying, I go to Dr. T and she said this and we're doing that. So I know you still are in the game of seeing and taking care of people, just like Dr. Van Welbergen. And so when his patients who were unvaxxed, because he established a lot of microscopy, just basic, the blood changes and the red blood cell morphology changes for people who took the shots, he starts now, in the last 6 months, he's starting to look at his unjabbed people who are saying, you know, I'm unusually fatigued, or I don't feel good around my wife who took the shots and I didn't. And Dr. T, he's starting to report that there are blood dyscrasias, red blood cell changes and damage and stacking, Rulio, in the unjabbed. Have you seen that? Are your patients complaining? Tell us about that for a little bit.
Well, we're certainly seeing more people that have not taken the jab have symptoms. You know, and so, you know, we don't do dark field microscopy in our office, but I know I've seen pictures of that and I've heard your interviews with people who do. And that goes back to the question you ask, are we going to lose our pure blood status just by being around all these vaccinated people that are transmitting something to the unvaccinated, yet to be fully defined? Are they transmitting hydrogel, spike proteins, just chemicals? Are they transmitting frequencies of some kind? Remember, we're still in the middle of the experiment. And I always say this when I'm giving big talks to people and like being guests on shows like yours, is that, you know, we've barely been talking about this for a year. I mean, the shots, you know, the Pfizer and the Moderna shot were just, you know, it's been like, you know, they were released at the beginning of 21. So we're just barely 2 years into this. We didn't really start getting data to really talk about until about the middle of 21, which is like 18 months ago. And everybody wants fully clarified, 100% defined outcomes. What is it going to be like? What is it? We don't know. We don't have enough data. We had no long-term information to start with. We were starting from zero. And as this unfolds and evolves, it's almost like every single day, there's almost dozens of more articles coming out in the medical journals defining one element of this or another. Defining all the fetal demise and the calcification of placentas that Ryan Cole and Jim Thorpe are talking about. I mean, defining all of these different things, the cardiac things that Brian Biddle and Peter McCullough are talking about. I mean, it's endless. And people want really specific answers that we're just not there yet. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we need to try to get our bodies as healthy as we possibly can. You know, if you can't get rid of the shot, you can still get rid of various, you can get rid of the white sugar, white flour, white rice, white homogenized cow's milk. We call those the great whites in our office. Mm-hmm. We can get rid of processed foods. We can eat as organic as we possibly can. I mean, because food really is still, until they completely take it away and make all of it synthetic, as Bill Gates would like to have us be, and have us just feed us bugs, and we'll all be great with that, right?
And pharmaceuticals. You know, food, yeah.
And food still can be your medicine. You know, you can do detox, you can do saunas, you can do foot baths, you can, you know, do vitamin C drips and vitamin C IVs. You can do EDTA chelation, whether that's topically or orally, to get out the graphene oxide. I mean, there are ways that you can make your overall body healthier. And by the grace of God, you know, our body is a self-healing, self-regulating mechanism. I mean, that's purely an osteopathic tenet, and I'm an osteopath, right? And right. So there are things that you can do. You don't mm-hmm. have to be a passive participant. Now, can you unvaccinate? It's in my opinion, you cannot, but you've got a lot of other things going on in your body. You know, like the new clinics that we're setting up, the new ECP clinics that we're setting up, which you can find, you know, which stands for external counterpulsation, to help with the heart, the lungs, the neurological complications, to fix your kidney failure, to do all kinds of things. If people want to know more about that, they can go to Tenpenny ECP, like Edward Charlie Peter, at tenpennyecp.com. You know, we're going to be opening up a lot of clinics here in Ohio after the first of the year. And then our plan is to roll out to other places around the country more towards the middle of next year. Yeah. But this is a technology that's FDA approved since 1995. And it's been marginally used because of the cost differentials. I mean, you can go through 35 ECP treatments for about $5,000. As opposed to $75,000 for a stent and $125,000 for a bypass surgery.
Good point.
So the big hospital systems don't want to take a $5,000 tool and cure people. They want them to get stents and bypass grafts.
Of course. Would that help people who maybe had taken the remdesivir treatment in hospitals, but made it out, like didn't go onto the ventilator? Maybe those kinds of organ damage, would that approach help?
Well, I don't know for sure about that, but I would say the answer is most likely yes, because one of the things that it really does is it improves circulation through the kidneys, And there's at least four or five different articles that I pulled from PubMed about that they were using ECP when people had kidney damage after having like injectable dyes, you know, like CAT scans where you have dyes or MRIs where you have dyes, that it caused kidney damage. And by using ECP, they were able to improve the kidney function from those dyes. So they could probably improve the kidney function from remdesivir and other things too. And here's an interesting thing, Jane, is like when people, the treatment takes an hour. And for most people that have illnesses, about halfway through the treatment, they have to get up off the bed and go to the bathroom to urinate. And that's because they have improved the circulation, pushing that fluid out through the kidneys and improving the function of the kidneys, that they have to take a break and go to the bathroom. Sometimes the very sick people with like congestive heart failure and with edema and things in their legs, those people have to get off the bed more than once because it's improving their circulation that much.
Yeah. And we know the kidneys work primarily on pressure and circulation. Dr. T, where can people, your main website though, and you have a store for a lot of these things. So tell us that, and then we'll put them in the show notes as well.
Yeah. So most everything that we do is all the central hub is drtenpenny.com. It's just drtenpenny.com. There you can see our supplement store. We have an apparel store, and I love our apparel. I think our designer is just
check
great.
It out. Okay.
I actually go out there and use my office code and buy my own stuff from my own store. I have t-shirts and cups and mugs and bags and stuff like that. So there's a supplement store. There's an apparel store. You can find the links to my Substacks. So I do two Substacks a week. One is on Saturday and one is on Sunday. The Saturday one is Eye on the Evidence, which I take medical literature and explain it to people, or lots of references. And then the one on Sunday is called On Walking with God. So it's a lot more spiritual and just uplifting, because in this dark world, we need some kind of happy things.
That's wonderful.
You can join our Substack, or you can join our podcast from there. We have lots of different offers and different levels that you can do in terms of our membership on our subs, on our podcast. I do 5 podcasts a week.
Awesome. You are busy.
Those are just part of it.
Yeah.
but you can find everything there.
That's fabulous. And I hope everyone goes to the site. In closing, I want to say that I just noticed a few days ago in one of your Telegram posts, you said something very profound. You said, food is medicine. Food is medicine for healthy care, and medicine is sick care. So I want people to remember that. We're trying to get away from pharmakia and pharmaceuticals. Yep. Absolutely. So Dr. T, thank you so much for being with me, and you're very generous with your time. You are a great mentor, and I'm sure you've saved millions of lives. So thanks so much again for being with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jane. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. My honor. Take care. Well, that's it for this segment. I'll be back in a moment to close out the show. Well, it's almost a wrap for the Dr. Jane Ruby Show tonight. And I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, your continued support, especially your prayers, are very much appreciated as I battle this lawsuit against me, this frivolous, baseless lawsuit from Robert Malone, the self-proclaimed inventor of the mRNA technology in these bioweapon shots. If you can help in my legal defense fund, please go to givesendgo.com/protectdrjane. That's protect Dr. Jane. And I'm excited to tell you about Friday night's show, because you won't want to miss this. It's my end of the year Christmas special. And I'll take you down a little bit of a walk down memory lane, because as you all know, the Dr. Jane Ruby Show was launched in January of this year. It's incredible. It's hard to believe it's been a year already. And it's because of all of you, your support of me, my truth in medicine, my refusal to back down from those who tried to interfere with my free speech, and supporting my sponsors and vendors. It's because of all of that, that you have been with me, that this show has been able to run a full year, helping God in his mission to save countless lives, especially the babies and the children. I'm very, very grateful, and I look forward to an all new year. And we'll talk about that more on Friday night's show. A lot of fun, a lot of reminiscing, and some beautiful visuals as well. So God bless you all. Merry, Merry Christmas, and I'll see you Friday night. Thank you.